Churchill, top pollster in the world, head of polling at Rasmussen, just had a big White House meeting. Very, very exciting, the thing, and can course correct because he's got his finger on the pulse and has called all of this. But some stations don't care that's first five, so we'll go to him at six after here in just about 5 minutes. But I want to play a few clips here of the Epstein situation. It's totally blowing up in their face, implicating all of them. But they're like suicide bombers. They don't care if they can, through innuendo, still do stuff to Trump. They'll still do it. We've seen this over and over again. So here's these important clips. We'll also get into Trump coming out and saying, yeah, if they're convicted of treason, this looks like treason, they get executed. That's where we are. So this is getting crazier by the minute. Here's these important clips. We'll come back with Mark Mitchell on the other side.
Again, this is Russia, Ukraine, everything.
I don't think this is the end of John. I am not.
Nobody thinks it's the end of Donald Trump. It could be the end for the Democrats. You're watching it happen in real time. I love how you say, you know, you look at Akeem Jarvis. Oh, it's just a fundraising email. As if it were a Republican, your party, the media would not interpret it in the worst light. For example, it's amazing how the brilliant Jasmine Crockett thinks there's only one Jeffrey Epstein, and that one Jeffrey Epstein somehow gave money to Lee Zeldin. No, I know this is hard to believe. There is more than one Jeffrey Epstein, just as if there are more than one Jesse Waters, but only one Greg Gutfeld. He was a doctor who gave money, but she knew that, unless you think she is retarded, and I don't think she is. I just think she's deliberately pretended that she didn't know there might be another one. So when I talk about, this is what I say is the big worry about this thing, and I'm for the release of them. You look at how these idiots are going to try to interpret everything in the worst possible way. So if you're caught in that net and your name is Jeffrey Epstein or your name is Jesse Waters, something that could be easily checked out. I'm not saying you're in the files. I'm just saying there's a high likelihood you will be. They will be extremely malicious in their interpretation. So we have to be on our toes. I do think that, what's his name, Galloway? He's right. Be careful what you wish for, because when something seems too easy, it's a trap. And I think you just handed Trump a paintball gun and you put targets on the Democrats because Epstein, I think 80 to 90% of his donations were all to Democrats. Epstein despised Trump. He was the only elite that wouldn't play ball with him. So, and then you look at like Larry Summers, you look at the, what is the billionaire? I can't remember. Reid Hoffman, look at Bill Clinton, you look at Akeem, you look at the Virgin Island lady. It's only begun and it looks bad for you guys. I think that this is going to be a fun winter for Trump because once he goes in on this thing, he doesn't come out. He figured it out. He knows exactly how, when you guys bring it up, it's always going to go back to the Democrats every single time. And pretty soon you're just going to say, why did we do this? This is just like Russian collusion, but it's worse because now it ends with a huge, huge pile of mud all over us. The Russian collusion thing just went away. You guys were lucky you didn't go to jail.
I think mud is a generous way of putting it.
Should I have said feces?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Not your R-word. So here we go.
Are you in the files?
Yeah, my name was invoked.
I believe that Jeffrey Epstein had information and I was going to get information to get at the truth. Having a friendship with him is not something that I would deem to have. And so I'm just looking forward. I'm moving forward. And I think that that's what we as American people should do is move forward. If individuals are not involved in illegal activity, extending his criminal enterprise or his financial enterprise or all of those things, I think that we need to look at what people are doing moving forward.
Wait, let me just try to understand that. What is that point? Because at the time he wasn't known.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder.
I
go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You are either with the Republic or against it. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
No, President Trump did not call for top Dems who called for a military illegal coup against him to be executed. He said, if they're indicted, convicted of that, that is, the law, they're the ones that tried to kill him. They're the ones calling for all the violence. That's where we are now. And we're not in a normal cycle here where, you know, there's no election happening right now, so things are normal. No, no, we're in a fourth turning globally. The global debt bubble is on the verge of collapse. Totalitarianism is going on all over the world. Trump is going against the globalist system. But Mark Mitchell is, hands down, at Rasmussen, the best, most accurate pollster out there. He's nailed it all. The last few months, he's warned of real sliding poll numbers and nailed why it was. Mishandling of Epstein, mishandling of messaging on the economy. We don't need to see more, you know, gold-plated dinners with billionaires and all the rest of this. We need populism. And a lot of the policies are great, but the messaging is terrible. Now all the other polls and numbers show that. And again, Mark Mitchell, who was summoned to the White House after they saw his emergency warning on the show last week, met with the vice president, the president, and many others. He can't get into all the details of it. But in general, this is really good news. They're aware of it. And I've even seen messaging changing since they saw the video over the weekend. Took them a few days to see it. And you already see Trump's, you know, talking about his poll numbers, admitting it, and talking about messaging. And you also have Trump bringing Elon back and them, you know, not just bringing his guy from NASA back, but, you know, saying, oh, maybe we should bring Doge back. These are the things that really hurt Trump. Doge was electric. He had the highest approval ratings ever had during that. And Mark was here reporting that. So, Mark Mitchell, I appreciate you coming on fresh back yesterday from the White House. Honest pollster on X, RasmussenReports.com. I'm not going to get into your whole background, but you're not just a pollster. You've been executive at major companies like Walmart, e-commerce, Jet.com, JPMorgan Chase. You name it. So you have a lot of positions and backgrounds, and you're nonpartisan to be able to come up with your analysis that I think is dead on. A lot of times I'll have my own view of something, what's happening from just the street and everything, and I'll see your analysis. It's like simpatico. And so I'm really glad, though. I know that they watch a lot of stuff we do at the White House, and so I'm glad that this happened. So maybe we should talk about that event, your view on it, and then all the stuff unfolding, what Trump needs to do and more. So Mark Mitchell, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being a visionary, because you're looking around at what you see around you and seeing the same kind of things I am, and I can put numbers to them, but it was very gracious of you to let me talk. We talked for an hour and we laid the whole thing out. This is where we're at. This is the problems. This is what needs to be addressed. And I really do think that it was critical in helping me get my message across, helping me go down there. And for people who, you know, might've missed it, there are really two main concerns I have. One of them is about Donald Trump, and it's not that bad. His approval rating is underwater 4 points right now, which is really not bad at all. It's better than most presidents going back to Obama 1 at this point in the term. Now, it was a lot lower on election day, especially among independents. It was negative 27. That was really bad. And so what I think I see the problem with is over the last 2 weeks, there was this counter signaling of the core base, the core MAGA voter, and this sort of misunderstanding of what I think the core issues are that are affecting the most number of Americans. And that's the fact that basically capitalism has turned into corporatism. The entire economy has been hollowed out. You have all these young people that have just been priced out of the American dream. And that was at odds with what Trump was portraying as, don't tell me about affordability. We're getting prices down. H-1Bs are awesome. We need all the Chinese students that we can get over here, or else our colleges will implode. Things that were really upsetting the base, but not necessarily showing up in his numbers, but were things that, in my opinion, would have critically derailed the situation if they weren't addressed. So that was issue one. And then issue two is the fact that Donald Trump, in my polling, and not in the exit polling, because I think there's problems with them, He had a lot of support last fall from independents and Democrats who crossed over to vote for him. 42% of his support in my polling. And then when the election happens, the off-cycle election, and those independents and Democrats don't turn out for Republicans, in my opinion, it's a harbinger of the fact that Republicans are going to lose big next year. And the polling says that people are not happy with the Republican Party right now. They think Congress is failing the president. The rating by independents of this Congress is freaking horrible, 9% excellent or good. And they don't have a plan for this impending wave of Democrat socialism. And so how do you get Trump, who's doing okay, to win with Republicans next fall, who are kind of like completely MIA on the core problems facing America? Because the issue is the Democrats have a product for this. It's called big government. The Republican product for this right now just seems to be kind of business as usual, traditional conservatism, and that's going to fail the youth. And we did a lot of polling on the youth. We talked about some of it on your show. I have new stuff that's even more crazy that tells you, in my opinion, who the under 40 conservatives are and why they're going into the arms of people like Nick Fuentes. These people don't care about free market libertarianism. They care about brutal order. So I was brought down to Washington, D.C. It was a great honor. I'd never been there in the White House before at all. And, you know, I had some meetings with people. I got to talk to J.D., Susie Wiles, Marco Rubio, and I got to talk to the president for a while. And I wasn't told not to say anything. Like, I don't know. I don't want to go too much into it. But also, I don't really remember it because I do this stream of consciousness like you do. I this is my information. I want to give as much information as possible. And you know how Trump is. It's also a stream of consciousness about the things that he's just surrounded with. I mean, my impressions are he's in it. He is trying to solve Americans' problems. He is getting information. He's intuitively, I think, making decisions based on that information. But this aspect of like being there being a larger organized plan and that we're executing on something intentional, like I didn't feel like that exists. And I felt like maybe the subtext of why I was invited there was because they realized they need to get different voices because, quite frankly, there's this aspect of the youth that the White House doesn't really get. And I think they were getting a lot of that from Charlie Kirk. I think they're trying to find new voices to really sort of understand that.
I 100% agree. So let me, before you continue, give my emergency message to the White House and quantify what I think you're saying, what I see, and tell me if I'm wrong or you know, add to it. We're in a revolutionary period, fourth turning. It's always driven by the youth. It's a mega turning. And they want action. They want reform. And so they're going to go to what is seen as extreme, a Nick Fuentes or a Mondami, and that they want to hear the narrative of going after the establishment, not endless parades of billionaires pledging to invest money here, which for a 79-year-old business tycoon, that's really delivering. And we've seen some numbers come out of jobless you going down and a lot of good things, even though he's swimming against the current. So for Trump, he's technical. He's like, hey, I'm working my ass off here. But he's talking to us like a 79-year-old titan. He needs to get the messaging to the youth that no, they elected you because they tried to kill you. You're seen as a maverick, an outlaw, a rebel, which you really are against the system. So get the rebel messaging going. I mean, literally, if Trump goes out and shoots up a case of Bud Light, by the way, Trump's never been seen shooting a gun. And I'm being serious. What the youth want? And real issues he's delivering. He needs to go out and shoot automatic weapons. He needs to shoot cases of Bud Light. He needs to go on stage with Kid Rock and sing. I'm serious. That's what they want. And they also want indictments. They want real stuff. But that's what you're saying is that we're in a revolutionary period, and you know all the gold plating and all that you know that's great for when the Saudi prince comes. But at the same time, you need to understand the fourth turning's here. This is a revolution. You don't want to look like an establishment person. No, you're the underdog.
Yes, I delivered that. His approval rating under 40-year-old voters was 60% the week after he made that Napoleon Bonaparte quote about he who saves his country violates no laws. So that's where their headspace is at. And now they've turned on him. His approval rating among the under 40s in the low 40s, 41-42%. And now they like Mondani, 62%. And we talked about this on your show last week. You can't teach these people that they have to be conservative capitalists because it's failed them. Voters under 30 know nothing except Trump and the establishment. That's all they know. And they look at the establishment and they say, it's terrible. Why aren't you fighting this? It's the same thing that Tucker Carlson just talked to Nikki Haley's son about in that interview, which is pretty stunning. And so they want drastic action. And I kind of like laid out, it's like it needs to involve the Republican Party. And so the way I kind of put it across was, I think there needs to be like a fight plan for America. Because he had that powerful moment, but in my opinion, people are sort of projecting their own goblins onto that. And there was never really this intention to pull it together into some organized plan in which to deliver what America needs. And instead, there was this feeling that, well, they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to deliver reform. They're not sure how to do it intentionally, but they want to do it without breaking any eggs to make the omelet. Like, well, we really want to protect those home values. Well, the housing market has cracks now, and it would be a lot better for the youth if it collapsed. And I don't think that there's a way where this whole equation can balance and make everybody happy.
Well, sure, Bessette talks about rebalancing. That's not just investment. Sorry, boomers. There needs to be corrections for the young people, or you're going to get a French Revolution on your hands.
I think, and I can back that up with numbers. So in my opinion, what that plan looks like is, listen, we do have an economic problem. Be very specific about what it is. Embrace the fact that it has failed the youth. And I would say prong one of that would be getting more jobs for them. It's great. We have an H-1B program. We should use it intentionally, but you have to acknowledge it's been scammed, and that's one of the big problems we have. Addressing offshoring, addressing all the ways that corporations have been screwing the kids, basically, you know, and also, like, older people are getting – literally everybody's getting the shaft by this because of the healthcare situation, right? Number two is brutal reform of the government. Get us back to DOGE, but people need to go through the visual process of seeing – trust restored to our federal government. And I made the case. I said, you know, the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago. 53% of America told us the FBI is Joe Biden's personal Gestapo. And when you just put somebody else in charge of the Gestapo, it's still the Gestapo. We have problems with the CIA, the IRS. We have problems with the Department of Defense. Everybody forgets that now. We have problems with literally every part of the government. And there's no visible attempt to restore this trust to America. And then this third one I kind of focused on was this aspect of oligarchy and corporatism. And in my opinion, the goal would be to separate yourself from the oligarchy, not try to be the oligarchy. And they've increasingly done this. We polled on antitrust, and people hate the power that corporations have. Almost 80% of America thinks big tech is run amok. And there were forces in D.C. hampering our ability to do antitrust stuff. I think they've thrown off the shackles, and now the DOJ is going after some of these companies. But they are the enemy. Like, they are the people who perpetrated this. Is the global homo kleptocracy. That's the problem. And the right has to fix it, or we're going to get a $10 trillion housing crisis bill. You talk, you hear Alyssa Slotkin out there today, who wants to declare a national emergency over housing prices. Well, the Democrats are doing that, and the Republicans are trying to pretend that everything's great. So what's going to happen? Who are the youth going to vote for? They're going to vote for the people that address their problems. And so the way I portray it is,
even though their plan will totally tank things 10 times worse.
Yep. The youth don't care. They don't want to hear about your socialism. You know, they don't perceive that they're the ones that spent $38 trillion in debt. And so if the system collapses, I think that's the subtext. The way I laid it out is like, okay, well, you have 3 years of the presidency. There's only 349 days or whatever until the election. And so obviously these problems are too big to fix in 1 year, but lay out what the fix looks like long term.
Exactly. He's got to give them a solution other than the Democrats promise all this free stuff we know is not going to happen. He's got to explain that's a fraud and say this takes time, and then elaborate how his plan is going to help the youth. But here's an example. I asked the crew to pull up the thing on Putin chewing out corporate leaders in Russia, and they pulled up a spy chief thing. But there's so many famous videos of Putin who got very popular over this and had some success calling in corrupt corporate leaders that were ripping people off, not hiring people, taking too big of profits, and saying, I will remove you if you don't do it. That is the most popular thing that the Russians loved. That's what people want to see Trump do. Not sit there and kiss corporate leaders' asses. Because right. They're investing or whatever, but literally the bad ones chew them out, the good ones thank them, because we know Elon's doing most of his investment now here. So we have heroes that are like Elon, but we also need to have villains that are corporate. And Trump's started doing this a little bit in the last few days, I think, from your meeting. From the interview, he came out and said, you know, the big fat insurance companies are ripping people off. This is all a big scam, which is true. He needs to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's like the messaging cue I would keep in my head. Fight, fight, fight for Americans. And so if a Trump truth comes out and it's attacking Thomas Massey, he might be a problem, but does it look like you're fight, fight, fighting for Americans? It looks like you're fight, fight, fighting your own party. And so I wouldn't even fight, fight, fight really the Democrats. Like, obviously, it's red meat to go after people who are doing open insurrection. But if he worked with Democrats to give a pragmatic solution to a problem that the youth have, that is really good. And so fight, fight, fighting for Americans might mean bury some hatchets and deliver economically somehow, right? And so I don't know what it looks like. But remember the first
term. How receptive was the president and who was most receptive? Well, I should ask the question, who was smart and invited you to the White House for this emergency meeting?
The feeling I got is that everybody I was talking to was very interested in what I had to say and had already listened to some of it, and that they really want to deliver on this. That was my feeling. Everybody was incredibly gracious and nice to me, very impressed by everyone. And I literally just think it's this aspect of, okay, I have to be seen as delivering, need to put out an intentional plan, and need to have message discipline where everything is sold to the Americans as being part of this. Yes, you can meet with the Saudi Arabian crown prince, but lay out how it's going to create jobs for the youth. And not defend the fact that 3,000 people are going to come here to, you know, for the factory. That might be well and good, but it's all about framing this as a solution for the American problems, because the Democrats are going to win on this if the Republicans don't have an answer.
And little things for the youth, because it's totally true. People go, oh, he said we don't have the talent for the modern chips. Nobody does but Taiwan and a few others. And they are willing to come and give us the technology because Trump's leaning on them. That obviously they have to come teach us. People go, well, we invented computer chips. It ain't the same chips now. So technically he's right. He just has to be more specific instead of telling, you know, Fox News, well, we don't have any talent. He needs to be specific. We don't have the infrastructure or the engineers that can do this now, but we're taking back the technology.
Yeah. I think it would be very helpful to lay out an intentional plan that people could buy into, you know, put a website up or something that says, listen, this is what the Republican Party is going to deliver on. And, I talked to Steve about this, Steve Bannon, and, he helped me too. I did some good segments with him, and I went down there and co-hosted the War Room, had a really great trip with him. And apparently he was in the White House in the first term and was very specifically laying out a list of the things that Donald Trump had promised on the campaign trail. And what they were doing was spreading these lists of accomplishments. And what everybody was looking for in Trump was, will he be able to deliver as an outsider? And when these lists of actual objective accomplishments were being passed around, it validated everybody's opinions, and it really juiced his base. And his numbers were horrible during the first 6 months of the Russian collusion hoax, but they came right back up after people realized he was delivering on things. And it's like Trump has done a lot now, right? But the way you look at how the White House is talking about it, they're putting out a meme about how it's a golden age without very specifically saying, no, this is the thing that we accomplished, and this is how it fits into the larger scheme of things.
Instead of saying we're in the golden age, it needs to be a meme of a road, and, you know, it says 30 miles away, but we're on the right road. You know, the road to Mondami and the Islamicists and total collapse in communism. You know, Bernie Sanders and Mondami over here and just rubble city, or this, but you're on the road. You're not there.
100%. And now when I was down there too, I also met with the RNC for a little bit. And I met with a conservative think tank called the Conservative Partnership Institute. Both of them were very gracious to host me, but I, again, I'm an outsider. I think that's one of the reasons that I'm able to do as well as I can as a pollster. And I think it's one of the reasons that we've been uncorrupted. But I also am learning a lot of this stuff for the first time as I see inside these organizations. And I think the Republican Party's got some problems. Like, I think it is hopelessly outclassed.
Yeah, and then you got all the white pillars that I go back to, because they got mad when you came on last week. Why are you demoralizing us? That's all negative. No, you've been saying it for months. You've been proven right. So they see the interview, then they see it all appearing like magic in the news, and they summon you because, as usual, you were saying it before. We're doing this to save the country. We're not doing it to score points or have CNN play a clip of us, because they'll take a clip out. Oh, look, this respected pollster says Trump's doomed. Not doomed, but that's not our fault. They cherry picked us.
Yeah. And there wasn't a lot of questions being asked of me at the RNC. Again, nice people. I was meeting them for the first time. I didn't get the feeling that there was sweat being broken or that there was any special plan to change the way in which they do things or talk about
things. You didn't feel any urgency?
No. And I actually heard them talk about the off-cycle elections, and it was like, well, it wasn't that bad. It's blue states. Everybody expected us to lose. Kicked us back into our 2012 baseline. Well, that was like Romney. You probably don't want to brag about that. Yeah, and we have the right message, and we have the right ideology. And we
so
just
they don't even know we're in the fourth turning, total revolution.
Right, 100%. And now I went to this other conservative partnership institute. I was very impressed. These people wanted to hear my message, and I gave it to them with both barrels, the whole thing. And it's like, you are on the cusp of losing forever. You know, because of these forces and the way in which your value set isn't adapting.
Well, that's key. The Democrats and in Europe, the same with any globalist power structure, they know there's a global awakening revolution. Their only answer is censorship, control, imprisonment. So they intend, because they're unpopular and their solutions won't work, to shut us down. So we're at the crossroads of conservatives get revolutionary, realize we're in the literal fourth turning war, and put the game face on or we lose.
Yeah, I think it's that easy. And, you know, it struck me as, again, I met a lot of people down there, but really there weren't very many people who wanted to engage with me on Twitter. And my account's not huge, but it's pretty decent. Like, I could have helped these people gain a lot of following.
Well, it's also influential.
Their content.
It's also influential.
Right.
So again, it shows they're not hungry.
No, not only that, they are trying to avoid being purposely controversial because they're invested in the Washington, D.C. system, which includes things like maybe someday having to be Senate confirmed. And I even think if that's like a canard, right? Because talk about the fourth turning, 60% of all of our national elected leaders are boomers, and it's probably even higher among the Republican Party. It's probably like 70%, and only 14% of them are millennials. Well, in 10 years, the number of millennials is probably going to be bigger than the number of boomers, just like retirement and death.
Because of death.
And so the politics is going to change very rapidly, and the people who are going to be confirming you are your peers.
And it's, the young people are who, and Democrats coming over, and independents is what Trump wants, so he should be focused on them.
Yeah.
Mark Mitchell, I want to stay there. You said you've got new polls out, stuff hadn't been seen yet. We're going to come back, and you're going to have the floor here, and no doubt the White House will see this as well, so let's give them another briefing. In fact, I'm going to shut up when we come back, because you get me going. I want to add and back you up, and just at least for 15 minutes or so, I'll ask a few questions for that. You're going to have the floor. You're going to host when we come back. And you can tell us during the break what you want us to pull up from Honest Pollster on X. We'll be right back.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Oh, God, I'm scared now. These people really think, like, threatening me scares me. You don't know. I didn't already know this. It's why I'm coming after you. I'm a warrior. I come from good people that built this country. You're not dealing with all the trash and scum you come from. You're dealing with a Texan, bitch. And there's still some of us left. And we crush snakes under our heels. You got the tiger by the tail. You've got the problem. I am the detonator of the revolution you see around you. And you knew it. And my work has just begun. So fill your hand.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You want a war? You got a war. You've been attacking me and been enjoying yourself in your arrogant perch that you're part of the power structure, Invincible. You are scum. You are losers. You are retarded gremlins that fed on this country when she was asleep. Well, she ain't asleep now, bitch. So let me tell you about the real mafia of populism. Let me tell you about real power that comes from real people. With real guts and real bones and real morals. If you think hurting and attacking people like me and the American people that are now awake will make us go away, please continue, and you will continue to find out. We've only begun to fight. And like a boa constrictor, we're wrapped around them. And they think they got us, we got them. And we're just squeezing and squeezing. And we get stronger and you get weaker. So you just believe your little MSNBC bubble. You just stay in your little bubble. You just wear your little virtual reality goggles and just live in your little fantasy land all you want. But while you're doing that, we are moving. And we've just begun to move. And if you think you're in trouble now, you haven't even begun to run into the next wave. It gets here in about a year. You think you can discredit, remove Trump, and stop us? That's hilarious. You think you can take our purity and get us to attack Trump and get him out of the way for you? That's a symbol of how good we are and how strong we are. Now we're not going away. You see our purity as weakness. No, it's our strength.
Now, back to our program.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Coming to you live from the Infowars.com studios in the recaptured state of Texas, it's Alex Jones.
The answer to 1984-1776, we are launching the American Revolution 2.0, and at Cleveland in 2016 at the RNC, it was all over the news, a third of the t-shirts of the hundreds of thousands of people that showed up in the arena and outside had InfoWars shirts on. We were number one, hands down, biggest English-speaking program in the world at that time, not just political. And I knew that, and the Democrats didn't know it. They flipped out. The Republicans flipped out. They said, well, we know you're popular, but good God, Trump, you know, called me up. Wow, what's this? You know, come meet with us. And so they really see this, and Trump's like, hey, I'm giving you a real revolution, getting us out of the carbon taxes, securing the border, you know, basically pulling out of NATO, ignoring the WF. Yeah, that's all really revolutionary. But when all we see is you hanging out with people like Larry Ellison and folks and Bill Gates, I have my finger on the pulse. Plus, I always have the same feeling. Oh, another dinner with Bill Gates. And you're losing massive support every time you do that. Now, people like Elon because he's seen as revolutionary, as maverick, and in many areas he is. If you want me to censor or else, I mean, look, but he's not just saying it, he's doing it. So I'll say it. And I already knew this, and I've said this since it happened 6-8 months ago when all this unfolded. But now Congressman Tim Burns has gone public, Massey's gone public. Not just Democrats, but Republican, deep state, permanent state, dark money drove out Musk. And so what has Mark Mitchell and myself been hammering? Bring him back. Not just because he's smart and Doge was kicking ass in the energy, but people liked it. They liked the Justice League look of that. And so And even if Susie Wald's a good person, I'm not saying she's bad. You need to. We need to see less boomers. I'm not trying to be mean. My parents are boomers. We need to see less of that. And we need to see literally more of you, not just at NASCAR, but driving one. Because you're already doing the real policies. But I'm telling you, Trump, go out and fire automatic machine guns. Trump, go shoot skeet. Trump, shoot up cases of Bud Light. I'm not kidding, because it's not like the young people are dumb. And I'm going to just say this and go back to Mark Mitchell. This is what it's all about. And so do that. And, of course, get some more indictments. People want, real delivery of stuff, but that's more the middle-aged and boomers and people. The young just want that because they see it as revolutionary. Like Mark said, when you start talking about your Napoleon quotes, the left all freaks out on you. People love it, okay? People want action, action, action. So I think he got that from your meeting where he's talking about where the Democrats are wanting to overthrow the government and saying his lawful orders are illegal. They want a military coup. And he says, well, if you get convicted of that, you get executed. They're all misrepresenting it now. But I'm guessing the young people are going to like statements like that, Mark Mitchell. Am I right? Please continue.
Yeah, absolutely. They want their interests put first. And in their view, the system is failing them. And I can back all of that up. This is a problem because there were still things like Bret Baier mentioned in the conversation. I'm like, oh, sir, everybody hates him. And it was like, oh, why? He's still very focused on Fox News. And I said, well, because he stole the election from you and half of your supporters canceled cable on November 3rd, 2020. And I joked about this before the trip. I said, maybe these problems would go away if they just pulled Barron Trump out of college and made him deputy chief of staff down there. And actually, kind of in retrospect, like, I agree with what you're saying. I also think it could be as simple as just go on Rogan again and have a discussion about it, because that was a very powerful part of the campaign. People were like, listen, Trump is willing to engage in a dialogue about the things that I'm interested in. That's really great. And I think that's one of the reasons that he basically tied among younger voters, depending on which of my poll you look at. But this is a fourth turning thing again. And like what you're saying is it's the traditional DC values of the Republican Party, who are mostly the people that surround Trump, are all of a sudden now being shattered. And I have two examples, one in polling, one of which I think tells us who these young conservatives are. The other is a fourth turning thing. And I said this back a month ago. I said, the absolute worst thing you could do with Nick Fuentes is exactly what you're doing now. You're clutching pearls. You're acting like the bad guy from Footloose. You're acting like leftists trying to cancel Tucker Carlson. And it's gotten to the point where pretty much I think most people acknowledge that it's about a coup in the Republican Party. You have Breitbart running stories about how the Bush wing is trying to reassert itself over MAGA.
Oh, no, man, I said that months ago. Through Israel, Israel sees a vacuum, Democrats in trouble. The Israel lobby with neocons is trying a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. And does Trump even know that?
Well, that didn't really come up. But I think I used it as an example in the group without Trump about how it's a harbinger of the fourth turning. I really can't remember. But we have two nights back out of three nights on updated Israel numbers. And so this isn't a published poll yet, but it's large enough to be a published poll. It's 859 U.S. likely voters. And when after October 7th, when you asked the tracking question, who do you support more, Israel or Palestine? Israel was plus 42. A month ago, in the beginning of October, it was plus 13 before all the Nick Fuentes stuff. Now it's only plus 6, and only 37% of Americans answer that question with Israel. And the age signal is appalling now. Already it was low 20s of 18 to 29-year-olds who supported Israel. It's 16% now. And even the olds went from 59 to 50.
So Israel's only flatlining, and I didn't mean to interrupt you. Finish with this and get back to the other poll. Sorry.
Yeah, that's it. They're flatlining. They're dropping across the board. It's Republicans, Democrats, and independents. They're going to lose plurality support among independents soon if these numbers continue. Only like 53% of Republicans now answer Israel to that question. Now a third of Republicans say not sure. They don't want to answer Palestine, but they don't want to answer Israel anymore. And this was the most obvious thing on earth, right? You pushed hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these youth to watching Nick Fuentes now, and he's out there completing the prophecy of the horseshoe theory of politics and everybody is calling him a national socialist, but not understanding that there are also people on the left who are looking for people on the right to signal cooperation. Because well, you know,
I gotta say, Floyd has his biggest growth is in the left, which is wild, because they want solutions too. So they love the authoritarianism. Yeah.
Well, and then this gets us to what are the conservatives under 40 want? And we've talked about this on your show, how even the ones that voted Trump actually support major socialistic policies like nationalizing major industries, like excess wealth confiscation. Well, we just did a poll that we released, I think yesterday, about artificial intelligence. And what is really wild is that the young conservatives actually would support giving up control of the government to artificial intelligence. So this question, significant advancements have been made in the field of AI and data collection, causing some to suggest that AI will take a more influential role in society. Many Americans are unhappy with the effectiveness of federal and state government officials, agencies, and politicians. If AI continues to improve, would you support a proposal to take power away from most human lawmakers and instead give an advanced AI system the authority to control majority of public opinion decisions? So only 41% of voters under 40 support that. But it's 55% of self-ID'd conservatives and only 40% oppose that. So it's 55 to 40.
Mark, let me just stop you. I just heard like a car wreck sound in my head because I hadn't seen this poll. Now it's on screen. 55% of young conservatives want an AI dictatorship, which shows they're desperate. They're hitting any button. Mondami, Trump, Nick Fuentes, any of it. You know, some are good, some are bad, some are okay. But the point is, don't they understand it's going to be set up and programmed by elites and by humans, and the protocol can be changed at any time? I mean, that is totally insane. But that gives you an idea how reckless they are. My God, Hitler's better than an AI dictatorship.
Yeah. I mean, only 35% of independents, 55% of conservatives, a majority of Christians. Christians want this. Atheists do not. It's a desperate plea
for
order.
Christians, a majority of Christians want an AI God. That's the mark of the beast system.
It's the fourth turning. I don't know what to tell you. It's getting crazy out there. We asked about whether you wanted an AI.
Explain to people who don't know. I know you know. Most people know, but for those that are ignorant, people on the street go, what's the fourth turning? People explain it slowly to them. There's revolutionary periods every 78 years or so. There's mega cycles. We're in one of the mega cycles. It means the youth will now drive everything. Total change. The old system, some of it good, some of it bad. Regardless, it's getting destroyed. So now there's a revolutionary time where society goes from being basically in a hard state, they call a liquefied state, where things should be remolded now. So those of us that are smart need to be out there engaging to create the new alternatives to sell the youth on that, to sell the future, so we don't get AI dictatorship or Mondani or Adolf Hitler. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, good job explaining it. It basically boils down to supply and demand for order. So after a crisis, there's a high demand for order, and society fills that vacuum and creates institutions and values that bring people together in a cohesive environment. That's like the 40s to the 60s. And then people kind of get used to it and branch out, become more individualistic, and the institutions start to decay. And then there's this unraveling period where you see, you know, we had our 70s, 80s, and 90s with stagflation and sort of the war on drugs. And, you know, this idea of us projecting democracy everywhere, like turn into regional disputes and just sort of chaos. And then it becomes the crisis phase where it's the end and the music stops and the institutions fail. And if you looked around the country, I hesitate to name a well-functioning, strong institution that uses its fiduciary duty and duty of trust to actually support its constituents or point to one that works. You know, maybe the Supreme Court, like certainly not academia, certainly not most churches.
I mean, on average, the police have problems, but on average, that's a real service, fire department, stuff like that. So what I just got from this, and your new poll, I think, is just bombshell. I said I'd let you have the floor, but it's just so bombshell, I'm interrupting. And let's put that back on screen. That you've got young people that are obsessed with Peter Thiel and AI tracking them, but the majority of them want AI to be their dictator. So it sounds like Peter Thiel knows what they actually want.
Well, yeah, and you got Elon Musk leaning into this too. And I don't know how much of this is like a commitment to AI versus a desperate plea for help. Because these people also, again, remember, gave Trump really high marks when he was ripping the government apart. And there's an aspect of like law and order and punishment they want too. The 18 to 29 year old voters is the one that's most pissed off when you explain things like Arctic Frost to them. And we've got three different signals now where they want arrests, one for Arctic Frost, one for the AutoPen scandal. Oh, they want Judge Boasberg impeached and the Obamagate stuff. Like these people wanted arrests by more than a 2-to-1 margin. It was a 3-to-1 margin, I think, with the AutoPen scandal. This is the 18 to 29 year olds. So normally what you would have seen before is the people who are most following the scandals just 10 or 15 years ago would have been the people watching Fox News and the 65 and older crowd. They would have run to the arrests. Well, now it's the kids. And again, this isn't ideological. Because the people who voted for Trump will, a lot of them, 35, 40, 50%, depending on which poll we did, say that they would support a Democrat socialism, socialist. And I think it's because they authentically see that democratic socialism has an answer for our problems. And it's more big government. And so I think they're at this, you know, juncture point where you have voters under 50 who are about to take control. They're evaluating all the different ideological options. They're willing to consider both parties. They have very little brand loyalty. They voted for Trump and Republicans. They'll vote for Democrats too. But it all comes down to who's going to fix their problems.
So they're up for grabs. And so you told Trump and the vice president all of this. But just recapping, since you met with him yesterday, what other advice? I agree, a fight, fight, fight party. He has to not just call Mondami a commie. They need to actually come out and explain. Even Mondami now admits he can't get everybody's stuff free. It's just ridiculous. They always just dangle. You're a smart guy, so I mean, I really want to hear this, and so does the president or everybody else. Does he put a task force together of different young leaders and smart think tank people, people like you, others? I mean, what does Trump need to do?
Yeah, I think he needs to fight, fight, fight for Americans against the system. You know, I'll keep doing the research. AmFest is coming up. There are probably going to be a lot of hot topics there where this kind of stuff will get discussed. But, I mean, the window is closing. Clock's ticking. The Republican Party probably needs a lot of help if it really wants to win the election next year. I think Trump embracing them working with Trump in order to get legislative victories next year would be great. I think the Epstein thing, you know, people, not sure, I haven't measured it yet. I think people are going to be okay with that. Independent approval of Trump is going up right now. That could be one of the reasons, because Epstein was a really big thing that tanked Trump's approval rating among independents. And Rich Barris was doing some polling in, I think, Virginia. And some of the things the young people were saying is, why did this happen? Why are we not arresting people? It ultimately comes down to fairness, order and fairness. The reason people want order is because they want fairness. And this entire system has not been fair. And it's most specifically been most unfair to young men. And so they're going to be in power like soon, right? Like there's going to be a handing off over the next 5 to 10 years. But already you have all these forces, these institutions, these political identities that are clinging to power. And that's why we're at the fourth turning. Society is demanding order right now, especially the youth, and they're the ones that are going to supply it and build their own political system around their values. And right now, the boomers are fighting back, and especially over things like Israel. It's obviously not all boomers, but it's these traditional long-held beliefs that American society has had. This like foundational myth idea.
And people like Mark Levin and Trump, but he's not so much that, but you know, some of the people around him. But Netanyahu, they're literally boomers that are insulated and only watch Fox News, and they don't understand, like, just leave the Israel thing alone. Israel, having the neocons and the Likudniks come in and try to bully everyone is the absolute perfect worst move. And, okay, Mark Levin, you get more attention and stuff, but you literally, Israel's the most unpopular country in the world now, and I understand it's not the only issue, so I'm not out to get Israel, so I'm just saying, guys, stop it. Then they attack me as an anti-Semite and say I'm Hitler, too. It's just preposterous. They just want to fight angry old boomers. And I'm like, sorry, dude, ain't doing it.
This is the clue that the fourth turning is here. This is young people rebelling against the old tired values. And I'm sorry it's about Israel. You know, I didn't make it that way. but they fought about it and it made things worse. It objectively made things worse. Probably had something to do with the Republicans' loss in the off-cycle elections. Certainly drove a lot of people to Nick Fuentes. Now he gets more views than Ben Shapiro does on a 14 times smaller channel. And if you look at things like, I just saw a Stanford Review article that claimed that 25% of the incoming freshman class at Stanford identifies as groypers. I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, this is not something that you could, these people have valid grievances. You can't
and
just
the Zionist right wing, you know, this is your rejection. You're being rejected as part of the power structure. And the more you do this, the more power you put into what you're doing by making yourself the center of attention and trying to hold on to power. You are going to make sure that you absolutely get destroyed. And in the process, really crazy stuff can happen when you think out second, third, fourth order. Other big issues, obviously, is immediacy. He has cut energy prices, but it's an uphill battle. I think even bigger, than the Epstein stuff and the censorship and the Israel lobby is affordability, right? That's the biggest issue.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%, but you know how our system works as well as anybody. It's allergic to deflation, and deflation is probably the best thing we could possibly have. And I just don't see – we polled on affordability. We have another poll out there, and 81% of America is still super concerned about inflation. But the one that matters to me is that we asked a question of whether grocery prices are higher or lower than they were, I think it was a year ago. It might have been 6 months. And 66% said higher, and it was only in the low teens that said lower. And so he can focus on trying to address the affordability issue, but actually being able to like lower people's groceries in a meaningful way in which he gets political credit for that, I don't have a lot of trust that that's going to happen. And so, again, that's why I think it's very important to very specifically identify what the problem is. And this is this generational wealth and power imbalance. And coming up with a plan that invests those people in the solution and fix. And understanding
the boomers benefited from the inflation. I know you know this, but for people that are new listeners or Democrats that don't understand it, some Republican boomers, you benefited from the inflation and now you're handing off the debt. It's very simple to the young people and they're pissed off.
Yeah, that's it. And they're going to cling to everything, not just Israel. I think NATO is going to be up next. I think eventually the younger people throw off the yoke of NATO unless something major happens.
I agree.
I think entitlement reform is going to look a heck of a lot different in 10 or 20 years. We're probably going to have some tough questions about Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. I really don't know, but all of these things were basically, the wealth of America was strip mined, and most of the wealth sits in that generation. And they're not going to be there anymore. So there's going to be a complete rebalancing of the way everything works. And
socialism
again,
works
we're
great.
We're seeing the beginning now.
Absolutely. Socialism works great till you're out of other people's money. But I know you already said this five times, but it's so critical for the White House, everybody else understand. This isn't a regular election cycle where, you fight over issues and the party, that it's in power, goes out of power and back and forth. This is the revolutionary point. Trump needs to be revolutionary, act revolutionary. And it's really that, and articulate that I am the underdog. I'm fighting the whole power structure. I've got a beachhead, but I need your help, and rally young people to help him and have groups of young people, to the White House, not just the perfect Republican, guys with their bow ties or whatever, and just get all sorts of entrepreneurs and people in and celebrate that and really get in there with the youth.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. They can have their traditional elections, and they're going to get what they saw in New Jersey, which is Jack Cittarelli improved on his 2021 performance by, 100,000 votes or whatever. He got more people to vote. They did register Republicans. They got Republicans to turn out, but he only converted 70% of Donald Trump's turnout from just a year ago, and the Democrats did way better. So the Democrats have a better machine. It's objectively better. They're turning out more of their presidential turnout in off cycles. Obviously, some of that's fraud, but that excuse doesn't work anymore unless you do something about it. Some of it's fraud, but some of it's their machine and the money they have that they're still getting, they're still laundering. And then the other is that they are embracing their youth. They have people like Mamdani. That gets people to turn out. So
the Democrats get smart and throw out all the Schumers and old people, they'll perform even better. In fact, I almost hate even saying this. The more revolutionary they get, well, they already know it. The Democrats know this, Trump, so you guys better figure it out. Incredible interview, Mark Mitchell. Amazing. Honest pollster on X. Everybody should follow you. RasmussenReports.com. 30 seconds. Anything else?
No, that's it. Rasmussen_poll, honest pollster. I did a bigger video about my trip to Washington, D.C. It's on my channel on YouTube. Everybody can check it out. Great to be here. Thanks so much for helping me get there. I never thought it would happen without that interview. And it's going to get crazy now, I think. So hope everybody comes and follows me.
Hey, I appreciate the listeners and folks that sent it to them. A great job, my friend. And it's heartening that the White House is concerned and listening. That's really good news. Thank you, Mark.
Yes.
All right. We got a huge guest coming up. Alex Newman, top globalist expert, is down in South America at the big New World Order World Government Confab. He's going to be joining us coming up from the center and in that big globalist event. And then Patrick Burns will be popping in with us. Remember, in studio with Big News, I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt, go get a ball cap, and then get the ultramethylene blue, get the Irish sea moss, and so you just commit to support us. Sign up for auto ship, get 50% off, and you can cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe, and then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world. They call up Mark like, oh, we saw your thing on Alex Jones. Please come up here right now. And quite frankly, I've already been invited to Mar-a-Lago in the White House a few times, but the things they invited me to are like confabs, and I'll sit there and Trump will come over and say something and pat me on the head. Trump calls. He didn't invite me to dinner, and then for whatever reason, we didn't get set up. Me and Roger went. Roger's like, oh, yeah, okay, sir, we'll be there. And I'll let you know, Alex, Monday. Oh, dinner with Trump. Oh, you forgot to tell me. But the point is, I'm busy. I don't care. To talk to him for an hour or two, I'll go to the White House. It's not like I'm high and mighty and I don't want to go do it. I just don't want to do it for no reason. You know, it's all of it. It's just, I was never into it, and I'm really not into it now. I'm into action, and that means being on air talking to millions of you. That's who I want to talk to. The AlexJonesStore.com is a huge sale going on right now.
I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about methylene blue.
Methylene blue?
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
I have shared the methylene blue with my crew.
Buy it before it's banned, because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart. It removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the methylene blue, stopped the bleeding, alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it, and now it's healed up on, you know, faster. So they don't buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's great. I love how everybody in the InfoWars audience just buys methylene blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? And you talk about the wart, other people have talked about, you know, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
One more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. This stuff is, I don't have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart.
I'm really proud of the Alex Jones Store. You know, when Bigley came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with, and they're willing to work with me, and I really got to have fun with them, and I got to bring some cool things to market, like methyl drive and power plant specifically, I'm very proud of. You know, it's been a blast to get to work with Bigley. They work with some of the biggest, some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country, and what I've been able to do with them is really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, you know, lower quality mixtures used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Bigley.
Again, thank you so much. Check out the AlexJonesStore.com today, and I thank you for keeping us on the air.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.